Hi, and thank you for downloading this podcast from Millpool Hill Church, Alcester Road, Birmingham. My name is Richard Pidgley, and I'm the lead pastor at the church. Today, I would like to talk to you about joy. Joy, according to the dictionary, is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. We talk about tears of joy. Joy is described as delight, great pleasure, joyfulness, jubilation, triumph, exaltation, rejoicing, happiness, gladness, glee, exhilaration, ebullience, exuberance, elation, euphoria, bliss, ecstasy, transports of delight, rapture, radiance, enjoyment, gratification, felicity, cloud nine, seventh heaven. Wow, what a list. But what is joy in the context of Christianity? Well, somebody once said, joy is the flag that is flying when Jesus sits enthroned as king in our lives. It's the flag that flies high when the king is in residence. Joy is described as an immense feeling of elation, emotional happiness. Joy for me is holding my gorgeous wife's hand after almost 31 years of marriage. Joy is speaking to my son, my daughter-in-law, and my grandson, 6,000 miles away in Modesto. Joy is talking with my 85-year-old dad each night about how our day has been. Joy is doing some jobs to help out my mother-in-law. Joy is sipping cranberry green tea, stretching out on a sunbed by a pool on an all-inclusive holiday, sitting in my study with my Bible or good book in hand, talking to others about Jesus, taking a hot shower after a long day, sinking that putt on the last hole of a round of golf, laughing out loud with friends. Joy for me is being at Millpool Hill Church, Birmingham. Joy is an expression of the amazing kingdom of God in our lives. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 puts it like this: for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the joyful expression of God's kingdom, it's not just seen in temporary things like parties and lots of food and drink and what have you, although those things might be enjoyable. Deep joy is having God's righteousness and his peace and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's that brings joy to us. The Bible says joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22 says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, or character, you might say, or the outworking of God's presence. The Spirit brings love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In other words, joy is evidence that the Holy Spirit is working in our regenerated lives. And it's a reflection of the glory of Jesus. In other words, it's the flag that's flying when the King sits enthroned in our lives. But where does our joy come from? Well, in one word, literally, it comes from God. Firstly, because it's God that actually brings us to a place of a well of salvation. Isaiah chapter 12 verse 3 says, with joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. The hymn writer said, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Joy flows with the sweet waters of salvation. A revelation of Jesus as your personal saviour brings joy. Having your sins forgiven brings joy. Knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that brings joy. Being full of the Holy Spirit is joyful. All these blessings produce a deep joy that cannot be sucked dry by the enemy of our souls or by bad circumstances. When Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch in the desert all those years ago, in the days of the early church, recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 8, we see that Philip shared with this eunuch, a searching man for spiritual truth, the truth about Jesus. And when the eunuch realized that Jesus was God's sacrificial lamb that came to take away the sin of the world, when he realized that Jesus could connect lost mankind with a loving father, when the eunuch opened his life and received Christ as his personal saviour, the Bible tells us that this man was wonderfully saved. And then after he was baptized in water, Acts chapter 8 verse 39 says, he went on his way full of joy, rejoicing in Jesus. The hymn writer said, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy, oh my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. And this, my friend, has been my experience. When my sins were forgiven, when my darkness was turned into light, when my captivity was turned to liberty, when my hatred and anger was replaced with love, and when my anxieties were replaced with peace, when my uncertainty was replaced with hope, then I found fullness of joy. Do you know the joy of God's salvation? It's as simple as ABC to have. You need to admit that you're wrong. A. Admit it. Admit that you've gone wrong and you're far away from God and you need God in your life. B. Believe that Christ loved you and he died for you upon the cross. And C. Call out to him in prayer. Ask him to come into your life to forgive you, to be your saviour, to be the Lord and the King of your heart. Ask him to raise the flag that says that he is upon the throne of your life. Ask him into your life and see what he can do for you. Admit, believe and call out to him. ABC. In doing these things, you can know the joy of salvation. The psalmist said in Psalm 34 verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good and all the joys of those that trust in him. Where does joy come from? It comes from God. And it comes from knowing that we're saved. Secondly, the Lord is the source of my joy. Psalm 43 verse 4. The psalmist said, I will go to the altar of God, to God the source of all my joy. An altar speaks of faith. It speaks of worship. And it speaks of sacrifice. And when we come to a place of faith in God, we'll find that actually we want to bow down and worship him and give our very lives to him. And it speaks about sacrifice, because in worship we realize that actually it's not just about singing, but it's giving our very all to God. And it's in this sacred holy place that you'll find joy through faith, worship and sacrifice. The psalmist said, I will go to the altar. What about you? Will you go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all your joy? Joy comes not only through salvation and through the Lord himself as we come to worship at his altar, but it also comes from his presence in our lives as well, the presence of the Lord. With boldness, we can draw near to God through Jesus. There is amazing joy in the presence of the Lord. Meeting with God is so important. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy, not just for now, today, not just for tomorrow, but for evermore. Deuteronomy chapter 17 verse 7, you and your families will feast in the presence of the Lord your God, and you will rejoice in all you have accomplished, because the Lord God has blessed you. God invites us to come as families into his presence, to feast upon his faithfulness, to feast upon his promises, to feast upon his goodness, to feast upon his love, to feast upon all those wonderful things that he says he wants to give to us. And in that place of feasting, and in that place of happiness, there is a deep joy that the world cannot give us and it cannot take away from us. Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." When we're in God's presence, we're joyful and we find ourselves strengthened. The Bible teaches that in God we live, move and have our very being, meaning our lives should be overflowing with the presence of God, overflowing with God's joy. A modern songwriter said, "I will come and bow down at your feet, Lord Jesus. In your presence is fullness of joy. There is nothing, there is no one who compares with you. I take pleasure in worshipping you, Lord." So joy is all about Jesus, and it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus' birth produced joy. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, we read about the angels telling the shepherds at the birth of Christ, heralding his birth, heralding the fact that God had stepped out of eternity and came into time, wrapping himself up in the frailty of human flesh. The angels gave glad tidings of great joy to all men. Jesus' birth, Jesus' arrival produced an amazing joy in the world. Jesus' life produced joy. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, we're told there about the joy of the life of Jesus. His amazing teaching, his healing and his miracles produced joy in people. People were glad to hear his truth. They were glad to receive his healing. They were full of joy when he turned impossible situations around and did for man what no other person could do. Jesus' death produced joy also. You see, when Jesus died upon the cross, he died once and for all to pay the price for all our sin. Up until the time of Jesus' death, the people had to bring sacrifices to make atonement for their sins, to put them at oneness with God. And that was hard. It was a religious observance. It had to be strictly observed. Otherwise, the people incurred God's anger upon them and the blessing was withheld. But when Jesus came, he died as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world once and for all. His death then produces joy because we don't have to come offering animals before God any longer. The only sacrifices we bring now are the sacrifices of praise and worship to our King. Jesus' resurrection produced joy. Because he lives, we shall live also. He died that we might be forgiven, but he rose that we might be justified. Jesus is alive and well. And he says, because I live, you shall live also. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. And there is going to become a time when we will be resurrected and we will know what it is to have a new heavenly body, just like our Lord Jesus has a heavenly body. And so resurrection produces joy. Death upon the cross, that great sacrifice of Christ, that also produced joy. Jesus' life, his teaching, healing and miracles produced joy. His birth, his arrival, his coming, the promise being fulfilled, produced great joy to all men. And his ascension, his going back into heaven produces joy as well. Why? Because Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back again one day and I will receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you shall be also." And so that produces joy in us as well. We know that heaven is a real place and that Christ is preparing a place for us. And when the time is right, we as individual Christians who have a personal faith in Jesus Christ and a love for God will find ourselves one day leaving this world and find ourselves in the glory of a celestial, glorious city of God, in the presence of God forevermore. So joy is all about Jesus. Jesus does so much for us. Without him, we would be lost, we would be sunk, we would be empty, we would have no hope at all, we would be far away from God. But through Jesus, we have been brought close to God again. Through Jesus, we've been given peace. Through Jesus, we've been given hope. Through Jesus, our emptiness has been turned to fullness. Through Jesus, we've been given a passage to heaven, and we have an entrance into the very presence of God. So what can we do then to maintain our joy? Well, I'm not trying to give you a magic formula to maintain your inner joy, which should beam out of you in rays of happiness. However, I found that doing the following things helped me to remain joyful. Remaining in Christ's love, that's important. This is pretty simple. If we stop loving God and our neighbours as ourselves, we create a dam for God's goodness to flow into us, and that results in a dry and barren life. Worshipping God helps us to maintain our joy. Worship magnifies God. It means that we come and we prostrate ourselves before him in total surrender to his perfect will. Like a pet dog who would come and lovingly kiss and caress the hand of its master, we come before God and we kiss his hand in intimacy and trust and surrender. Worshipping God actually helps us to be joyful. Remaining in Christ's love helps us to be joyful. And I found that praying can help us to be joyful, because prayer places us in the conscious arena of God's supernatural love and his supernatural presence. Praying is communication with God. And what an amazing joy and a happiness that kind of creates in us when we can stop in the busyness of life and in the sometimes disappointments of life and the hardships of life. We can stop and say, God, will you help me? We can pray and we can invite God into our lives in a fresh dimension and ask him to strengthen us, to give us grace and to guide us and to help us through all sorts of things. And when we pray, God hears our prayers and he answers our prayers according to his amazing power, which is beyond our wildest dreams and imagination. And he does for us what nobody else can do. And he provides miracles and he takes us through situations. And we find that as we pray, that actually a deep joy is released in us, because we are in his tangible presence. We are knowing God's power flowing through us, and that produces joy. So prayer is really important. Worshipping is important. Remaining in Christ's love is important. And I believe giving generously is also important as well, because we're never more like God than when we give to others. And I found that as I give to others, my time, my gifting, my talents and my finances, as I give generously to others, I'm actually reflecting the heart of God, and that produces joy in me. Thinking about other people can also help to produce joy. Johnny Appleseed went all over the United States sowing little seeds of trees, apple trees, that he would never sit under the shade of, and he would never eat the fruit of, yet it gave him joy to plant trees that others would benefit from in years to come. Thinking of others, doing something for others, actually produces joy. And also I found that sharing our faith with others produces joy as well. Talking to others about Jesus, how Jesus can alter their eternity, produces joy. I've never come away from a conversation with somebody about Jesus without feeling a sense of wonderful joy in my heart. Sometimes we can lose our joy. We can often lose our joy when we allow ourselves to follow the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 verses 19 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. We sometimes sin by commission, what we do. Sometimes by omission, what we don't do. And sometimes by disposition, that's our attitudes. But don't be deceived. Every sin is an act of cosmic treason against God. Anger, criticizing, pride, impatience, unforgiveness, all these things can cause us to lose our joy. King David lost his joy when he slept with a married lady called Bathsheba. But adultery wasn't enough for him, as he went on to plot against and kill Bathsheba's husband Uriah, who was a brave soldier and loyal to David. And when David did those things, he felt wretched and low. And he testified in Psalm 32, saying he felt his very life was ebbing out of him. But when he finally repented, he said in Psalm 51, "Restore to me, O God, the joy of my salvation." Joy can be lost then through giving in to the desires of our sinful nature. But when we come back to God and ask for forgiveness, joy can be restored. You say, "I want my joy back." Then repent, because there's forgiveness with God. You say, "I want even more joy." Then commit to doing those things that bring joy. Joy is an emotion of great happiness. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It comes from God, but it needs to be maintained and it can be lost. Henry Nguyen wrote on joy, saying, "Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose and keep choosing it every day. It's a choice based on the knowledge that we belong to God and have found in God our refuge and our safety, and that nothing, not even death, can take God away from us. Joy is the experience of knowing that you are unconditionally loved, and that nothing, sickness, failure, emotional distress, oppression, war, or even death, can take that love away."